I pray that today, as we look at the Word of God and we look at the truth that He wants to bring to our attention today, I pray that would be your desire this morning, is to ask of God, God, as the psalmist says, search me. See if there's anything in my heart that's not of You, God. Show me those things. I pray that we learn to walk and to live our lives in that way so that we, number one, can reach those who are in need of Jesus Christ, and number two, so that we don't hurt or mar our testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in us as we live our lives with His name attached to us, being believers and followers of Jesus Christ. I was reading through the Scripture. I shared with the guys just a few minutes ago in our prayer time, and those of you men who want to come, that's no private group out there. If you're a man, and we have to distinguish this in today's society, if you're born a man, feel free to join us. We don't have to distinguish that here. We have stick finger dresses and stick finger no dresses on our bathroom, and that's never going to change. No, that's extra preaching. That's for later. But if you're here today and you're a man, please join us before service on Sunday morning at about 5 till. We go out there and we razz on each other a little bit. We pick on each other. Most of these guys talk football till time to talk about Jesus. That's how simple these guys are. Football, football. I love Jesus. Football, football. So it's just a cycle that they're caught in this time of year. I didn't hear what was said. She said, I spoke and the ADD pastor lost his concentration just like I knew he would. Women remain silent in the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So, thank you, Lord, for that revelation. As we look today in Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to turn there in your Bible, and I want to talk to you about the greatness of Christ's atoning sacrifice. The greatness of His atoning sacrifice. And I know what you think, because this is what I think every time God gives me something to preach. Is it Jesus again, Kirk? Really? Yes, it's always Jesus. But I want to tell you, this week I was studying, and I wasn't even studying. I was just reading the Bible. How many of you know there's a difference? Sometimes you just read so that God can impart some stuff to you. You're just reading along. You don't really know what God's showing you. And then sometimes God's showing you something, and you're digging a little deeper, and you're studying that. I was just reading. Have you ever been just reading the Bible, even something that you were familiar with, and God just grabs you with it? He just grabs you with it, and it kind of shakes you. And I'll be honest with you. Those of you who know my Baptist roots, you would have thought I had Pentecostal roots in my office. Because when He grabbed me, I'm talking about, I was excited once again. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is, Lord, never let me not be excited about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I was reading in Hebrews 10, and I want to read this to you. And in fact, I was actually reading, praying, Lord, show me what You want me to share with Your people this week. And I didn't even know I was studying for a sermon when this came to me. I was just doing my normal, let's look through the Bible and see what God has for me today to start my day. And this is where I ended up. And so then after that, it became a matter of study, because I got excited and said, I love looking at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the atonement that He made, and I want to teach you a little bit about that today. And I want to say this to you, if your sin is not covered by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ before we ever get to the end, let me say this, don't sit here today in false hope. Without Him, you have no hope. Without Him, you have no hope. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many churches you've joined. If you have never received personally atonement through Jesus Christ and His blood sacrifice on the cross for your sin, you have no hope. I know sometimes I sound very repetitive in the things I say about this, but I'm not going to stop saying it. I'm not going to stop saying how precious is the blood of Jesus Christ to those of us who know what that means. Amen? So we look at Hebrews chapter 10. Your Bible probably has a subheading there at the first verse, before the first verse in 10. It says, Christ sacrificed once for all. Go ahead and underline that, because that's very important. It's going to be the theme that runs through a lot of what we're going to talk about today as we look at this passage. And I want to read the passage, and then I want to break this passage down. We're going to talk about it a little bit And then we're going to get to do the most exciting thing that I get to do in my life when we're done with the service today. We're going to go over here and we're going to observe believers' baptism, those people who have already been washed by the blood of the Lamb, identifying with the death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, turning from their sin, turning from their self, turning from their old master, and turning to the hope they have in Jesus Christ. We're going to see that picture in just a little while. And I promise you, that is why we do what we do. Don't ever forget about that. I don't care if we got to pack all of us in there and get sweaty and stinky for just a minute. It's worth it to see someone for the very first time be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, and to preach to their whole family and all their friends about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ without ever even opening their mouth. So as we look at this, Hebrews chapter 10, it says this: the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. Understand this. He's explaining to Jews who've been converted to Christianity. They've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And he's saying that the law was a shadow, the old system, the old sacrificial system. And that's his focus here today. The old sacrificial system of the law. He said it was only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. He says it was just a shadow. How many of you know this? When the sun shines on you, you see your shadow and it kind of looks like you, sort of. You remember when you were a little kid and your teachers used to do those things where they traced your shadow on the wall and you took it home to your mom and your eyelashes looked this long? Like, man, those are some pretty cool eyelashes. What are those things called? Silhouettes, yeah. So they would do those silhouette things and you'd take them home to your mom on Mother's Day or whatever it was. And your mom had this cool shadow of you, which didn't look like you at all. But you could tell it was you a little bit. So he's saying this, as we understand a shadow is not the reality. Everybody underline that, put a note outside in your Bible. A shadow is not the reality. There are still people today trying to find the reality of an atoning sacrifice in a shadow. You're never going to find the reality of Jesus Christ in a shadow. Aren't you glad that we know Him today personally because of what He's done? I don't have to accept just a shadow. I know the reality of Jesus Christ, which was given to me by a gift from God called faith, and only by His grace. Amen? He says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never be the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year. Make perfect those who draw near to worship. He said those sacrifices that they did annually. How many of y'all believe this is the Word of God? The Word of God said those things didn't take care of sin. Number one, they had to keep doing them. Number two, sin was still present. He said those things didn't take care of sin. He says, if it could, would they not have stopped being offered? They would have done it. It would have been done. Jesus Christ did it once. It was finished. For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. Y'all please see what the law was showing. The law was not showing atonement. Though they thought atonement, the law was showing atonement that was to come. The law was pictifying a shadow of the reality of Jesus Christ. It says it right there. He says those sacrifices are an annual reminder not of redemption, but of sin. I don't know about you, but the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is a daily reminder for me of redemption, atonement. Because He died once for all, we're going to see that and the importance of that. But what He's saying here before that, He's saying that sacrificial system was not to draw attention to the sacrifice. It was to draw greater attention to the need for sacrifice. And the need for sacrifice is sin. Goes on to say, but because it is impossible, verse 4, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Christ Himself said, that's not what you wanted. He prepared me as a body. Watch this. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. And then He said in verse 7, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. First, He said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. Although the law required them to be made, understand, no man, no Jew, no Gentile, nobody in today's time who tries to offer God sacrifices apart from Jesus Christ's sacrifice, those things count for nothing to God. The argument is the place in parentheses. The argument is the place in parentheses because what people will do, they will say, well, then why did he put them in the law? Because he put them in the law. Why? Because of what we just read, so that you would see your sin, so that you would see your need for not the shadow of atonement, but for the reality of atonement, the perfection of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice. He goes on, he says, then he said, here I am, I've come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. Underline that. He set aside the first. What was the first? Everybody say a shadow. He set it aside to establish what? The second, which is the reality and the greatness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And by that will, whose will? God's will. We're going to talk about that more in detail in a second. He will have made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Watch verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. People, understand that the law is not something you are to follow religiously. Everybody understand that? The law is something that you have been set free from by the reality, Jesus Christ. But when the priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, who's that priest? Jesus Christ, the great high priest. It says he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. We talked about that a little bit on Wednesday night if you were here. And we saw him come and destroy his enemies with the word from his mouth, that two-edged sword. Amen? And he said, because by one sacrifice, watch this, pay attention to this, he has made perfect. Y'all see that's past tense? Watch this. Forever, those who are being made, we just changed gears, that's present. He says, by that one sacrifice, he made perfect those who are being made what? Holy. Can I read that one more time? And if somebody gets this for the very first time, you feel free to shout. Because by one sacrifice, he is made perfect. I'm going to explain it to you. Kirk Hall is perfect because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I know I don't look perfect. Don't look at me like that. You don't either. But he's already made me perfect. That sacrifice is done, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There is nothing that Kirk Hall can do in this lifetime to obtain perfection. Did you know that? No good work, no good deed, no baptism. Nothing that I can do in this life will allow Kirk Hall to ever become perfect. So let me say to all you religious Pharisees out there who strive to be perfect before the eyes of men, you're never going to get there. You're wasting your time. He says that he has already made me perfect. And this kind of sounds funny because it sounds like a contradiction, but let's learn something here today. He says that he is, verse 14, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now here's the thing. If he made me perfect forever, why is he still making me holy? Because I'm still corruptible in this life. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ's sacrifice changed your position? And aren't you glad that His Holy Spirit through His Word is changing you practically? Let me say this to you. Never forget that He's doing the work for Him. You're not doing the work for Him. So many people say, well, I turned my life around for Jesus. No, you didn't. People don't turn their life around for Jesus. People run from Jesus. People hide. People sin. Jesus established your perfection 2,000 years ago on a cross, and now His Holy Spirit who lives inside of you is causing you to be molded and made, regenerated into the image of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ died for you to look like. He is making you holy before men right now. That's the change you see. It's not because one day you came to church because your wife kept nagging you and your life got turned around. Don't ever stand up and give testimony that your wife saved you because she pointed you to Jesus. Your wife couldn't have saved herself. No, I'm not playing. I get tired of it. People sometimes think that their good deeds save someone. I've had people say to me, thank you, preacher, for saving me. Whoa, stop just a second. Let me tell you what, I'm a flawed man. I didn't save you. Because if it was up to me and I still was the old Kirk that I was, I'd have pointed you straight to hell. I'd have said, get in line, follow me, because that's where I'm going. I know it's uncomfortable to talk about hell in today's society. The missing link that no one talks about in church, for it may offend someone. It may. And I pray that if you're offended that I told you apart from Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity in hell. I pray that today you would see that not only should you be offended by that, that that truth would cause you to open your eyes to the reality of Jesus Christ dying for you. But let me tell you what, when that preacher told me for the first time I was headed for hell, it offended me. It offended me to the point that for the first time in my life, I looked at God. And when I looked at Him, I saw His holiness and my unrighteousness. That's how it works. Did you know that? God's going to give you a message. I promise you. The gospel message is a message we ought to preach. Why? Because the gospel message causes the lights to come on for us to see how dark we really are. 15, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, He says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. I'm thankful that God is faithful to that promise. You know, I don't have to read something in the Word to know that it's wrong when I partake. Why? Because the Word's written on my heart. The Holy Spirit now convicts me that it's wrong. Did you know this? I've been convicted of things that were wrong for me that I can't find in Scripture. I can't find a thou shalt not in there about it. But I know this in my heart. The Holy Spirit says, thou shalt not. People say that all the time. Well, I don't find that in Scripture. Well, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? Because if you just read what I just read, the Holy Spirit just said right here through the author of Hebrews, we can debate that all day long, who was Paul, and he said, I like to make theologians who disagree mad, but he just said that. He just said that. So as we look at this, understand, when we really see this for what it is, it's saying the Holy Spirit is in your heart. The Holy Spirit is going to lead and to guide you into the perfection that God is doing in you because He perfected you already in the heavenly realms through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know why He sat down? His work was done. And He sat down there waiting. You know what He's waiting for? To make His enemies His footstool to His return. And He's going to return and the enemies of God are going to be crushed. We don't have time to go into that. We did it Wednesday. Y'all all got your babies in bed late that night. We go on. He says, then He adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. I want you to get that today. Underline that. Because you remind yourself of your sin a lot. And the enemy reminds you of your sin a lot. And the circumstances of this world sometimes remind you of your sin. Can I tell you this? Your past sin that has been forgiven once for all and has been atoned for by Jesus Christ, God remembers no more. You say, well, how can an all-knowing God forget? Because an all-knowing sovereign God chose to. He chose to. Why? Because His only begotten Son was obedient to His will, and His only begotten Son died a brutal death on a cross so that your sin would be washed away completely as far as the east is from the west to the bottom of the ocean floor, and God remembers it according to what we just read right here, no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Now, stop there because this is where the theological debate begins with all of our other cross-denominational brothers. What is he saying? He's saying in context, pretty simple. If you miss out on the atoning sacrifice for Jesus Christ for your sin, you have no hope because there's nothing else that's going to work. Because it is the greatest thing that you can even imagine. And as I read this week, I saw once again the greatness of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you why. Number one, because it replaces the old sacrificial system. Verse 1 through 6, we saw that it's a shadow of the good things that are coming, the old system. The new system is the reality themselves. It is the fact that the law was fulfilled through the obedient sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So I saw again, anew, fresh. This replaces the old sacrificial system. It removes our sin, cleanses us completely once for all. So write that down. It replaces the old sacrificial system. That means this. You don't have to do anything to get forgiveness of sin. You don't have to do anything. How many of you understand what he tells us in 1 through 6 is that the priests had to continually do sacrifices year in and year out. They had to do these things so that these people could at least have a clear conscience. They could go to bed at night and go, well, man, I feel dirty, but I made atonement. Atonement was made. I sacrificed a lamb. Everything's cool. But what this passage just told us is that wasn't enough. Because they were constantly reminded of their sin because they continued to have to keep doing this. Why? Because they continued to sin. Can I say this to each of you believers who are here today who sometimes struggle with sin? Praise Jesus that the old system has been replaced with the new reality. Do you know this? I'm going to really mess you up. This is where theologians get in a lot of trouble because they're the people who say, well, if you're driving down the road right before you die and someone cuts you off in traffic and you flip them the bird and then you lose control of the wheel and you drive off in a ditch and you hit a tree and you die and you didn't have time to confess that sin, you're going to hell. How stupid is that? How stupid is that? I've heard the argument over and 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 over again. That is a stupid argument when you look at the reality of Hebrews chapter 10 that Jesus is teaching us here. I replaced that old work system where you tried to gain God's approval by the things you did, and when you missed the mark, you had to go sacrifice an animal. I replaced that with the ultimate greatest sacrifice the world has ever seen, a sacrifice that allows you to be completely forgiven. Here's the thing, I can lay down at night and I can know this, if I messed up during the day and I didn't go to the Catholic priest and whisper through the screen to a sinful man, that makes no sense to me at all. I didn't do that. And I go to sleep and I die in the middle of the night. Can I help you out? I'm just as saved as I am right now if you're preaching a sermon. I'll really blow your mind. Can you blow your mind? If I got in the flesh right now, and I go to pull out in the parking lot and some guy who wasn't a very nice guy to begin with does something ugly to me, I'm having a bad day. And I retaliate. Y'all can visualize whatever that looks like. You know what it looks like for you. Somebody gets your parking place at Walmart. I had my signal on! Do you want some of this? And if because you got so excited about losing your parking place, you drop dead right there of a massive heart attack, let me say this. Number one, it's just a parking spot. That's why they make several. But if you were to get so excited that you drop dead of a massive heart attack because you eat too much bacon, thank you, Lord. You are still just as forgiven as you were before you got all upset about your parking place. We confess to agree with God. We don't confess so that we can get in on atonement. We confess so that we agree with God. God, you're right in what you say. I did act like an obnoxious unbeliever about a parking lot. And I'm sorry for that, Lord. And not only am I sorry for that, I'm going to go make that right with that person. I know they're 82 and in the hover round. But I'm going to go over there and I'm going to straighten it out with them. Why? Because the Spirit has written on my heart the Word. The Spirit's going to lead me to go over and make things right with God and with my brother in Christ or the people who are in this world. But here's the thing. As far as atonement is concerned, I'm forgiven. I was forgiven for that before I ever did it. Oh, wow. Now, you people who like grace as a license, don't go just live your life doing what you want to do. I'm forgiven before I ever do it. That's not what he's telling us to do. He's telling us the reality of his atonement. That ought to be the thing that causes us to live worthy of the calling and the grace that we've received. Replaces the old sacrificial system. I'm thankful. You know, they said on the Day of Atonement, 300,000 to 400,000 animals would be sacrificed. 300,000 to 400,000. Think of the work that went into that. And this passage just told us all that work was to point to you, the fact that you're a sinner. And you're in need of redemption. But Jesus Christ came and He died once for all sinners who know their need for redemption. Replaces the old sacrificial system. Number two, verse 7 shows us this. And I love this part. This is great. This is, again, pointing to the greatness of the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ. Then I said, here am I. It is written about me in the scroll. Jesus understood the prophecy that pointed to Him. He says, here I am, just as it was written. I have come to do Your will, O God. The greatness of Christ's atoning sacrifice reflects the will of God. You say, I don't quite understand how that could be God's will, because you don't quite understand God's love. God loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what I love about that? He didn't say God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him and does everything right, works and becomes perfect in this lifetime, when he gets through with that, he might have eternal life. He didn't say that. He said, at the moment of trusting Jesus Christ, Kirk Hall has eternal life. Now, if God gave me something that's eternal, how can I ever lose it? Folks, just stop for a second. It was the will of God. It was the will of God to give you this precious sacrifice of His only begotten Son. Why? To give you the reward of eternal life, to forgive you of your sins so that you could commune with Him, so that you could fellowship with Him not only in this lifetime, but in all eternity. And He says this, so that I can show everyone else how great He is. We don't deserve it, do we? The person who thinks that you deserve something, out of your mind. It was the will of God. The only reason that you received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is because it was the Father's will. I ask this question because I know you want to. How could a father ever will that his son die for others? Right? For God so loved you. That's a love you'll never be able to comprehend. That's a love you'll never be able to wrap your human mind around. But one day, we will see that love face to face for all eternity. And I'm thankful today. The greatness of Christ's atoning sacrifice not only replaced the old system, but it also reflects the will of God. It was God's will. This is amazing to me. Because I'm nobody. I'm nothing. But the God of this universe, it was His will to rescue a scoundrel like me from the depths of my sin. To rescue a guy who would never give any consideration to God in and of myself at all, but only thought of me. God's will was to rescue me from that guy. Because He desired to have a personal relationship with me so much. Now you let that sink in for just a second. See how real and how great that is. Replaces the old sacrificial system. It reflects the will of God. Number three, it represents an acceptable sacrifice. Verses 8 through 10, I won't read them again for the sake of time, but we see this, that the sacrifices that they made in the Old Testament weren't acceptable. It was never even what God desired. The whole purpose was to show them, you're sinful. I love that we live in a time where these Gentile Christians are trying to go back to Judaism and follow all of these festivals and all of these things. It's ridiculous. Those things were shadows pointing to the reality of Jesus Christ. When you go back to the shadow, you forsake the reality. So understand this. When we look at this sacrifice, the greatness of it, represents an acceptable sacrifice. Never before was there ever an acceptable sacrifice for sin. Did you know all the sacrifices, all of them, under the law were never acceptable? They never were acceptable. Do you know there was sacrifice even before the law? How many of you know God made a sacrifice for Adam and Eve? Give them some clothes. Guess what? That sacrifice kept them from being naked. But that was not the once-for-all sacrifice that was to come in Jesus Christ. So understand, as far as man's concerned, there was never an acceptable sacrifice that would cover anyone from their sin until Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's why when we preach the gospel, we preach the greatest message ever told. There is no other sacrifice for sin. Now let's get honest for a second. How many of you would say sin is my biggest problem? Did you know this? All the false gods in all the world, none of them have ever claimed to take care of the problem, of sin. But there is one who promised that if we turn to Him by faith, He will perfect us and forgive us from all of our sin because of what He did by shedding His blood on the cross. That's the Jesus who we need to follow. He represents an acceptable sacrifice. A sacrifice that God was pleased with. Did you know it in Isaiah it says it pleased God to see Him crushed, to see Him bruised, to see Him smitten, to see Him crucified, to see Him die. It pleased the Father. Why? Because the Father was pleased with the obedience of the Son and His willingness to be the only acceptable sacrifice for sin. How great is that? I wish some of you would get saved this morning. You might get excited about things like that. The only acceptable sacrifice is represented through Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, the blood that was shed. You see, it replaces the old sacrifice, reflects the will of God, represents an acceptable sacrifice, the only acceptable sacrifice. It reveals a perfect sacrifice. Look at verse 11 through 13. Day after day, priests stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But when this priest had sacrificed for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down at the right hand of God. He said, my work is done. He revealed a perfect sacrifice. No longer does mankind have to look to some act that you can do, some penance that you can make, some work that you can somehow achieve, some animal sacrifice that you can somehow make. No longer does man have to look for these things. What man has to do is look to the cross of Jesus Christ. And in looking to the cross of Jesus Christ, he finds the greatest atonement, in fact, the only perfect sacrifice for sin the world has ever seen. And Jesus Christ made that sacrifice for you and me. So we see he replaced the old sacrifice system, reflects the will of God and his obedience to being that atoning sacrifice. The greatness of Christ represents an acceptable sacrifice. It reveals a perfect sacrifice. Number five, and I'm done. It rescues believers from sin forever. I'm tired of Christians living like they're still trying to earn God's acceptance. You know, when you're going to live the Christian life the way Jesus Christ intends for you to live the Christian life, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word of God, empowered to do the will of God, bringing glory to God by the acts of service that you do for others in His name, you're going to see that when you finally come to the point of assurance where you say this, I know that I am forever forgiven, that I am forever saved, and there's nothing that can ever change that, nothing in all the world, not my actions, not the actions of others, not my religious status, because a lot of people think, well, if I can just climb the religious ladder, I can get closer to God. We hear it. I get tired of hearing it. You turn on Christian radio, and there's songs about getting closer to God. Can I tell you something, believer? Listen to me. You are as close to God now as you will ever be. You are positionally in His presence. Now, here's the thing. Live like you dwell in the presence of God. Do you see the difference? What the enemy has talked you into thinking year after year after year is you can't come into God's presence, just like he did to these people of old. You can't come because you're not clean. I can come into the presence of God now because I have been made clean by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and I can come into his presence anytime I desire. In fact, if you want to know the truth of the matter, he walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives in my heart. Why? Why can he dwell in my heart? Because Jesus Christ has cleansed my old wicked heart. And he said he put his spirit, his word, inside of me. He lives here, never to leave here. So understand that, because many of you live your Christian lives defeated because you're reminded constantly of your past sin that God doesn't even remember. Oh, just let that settle for a second. He's cast it as far as the east is from the west. Hebrews just told us he doesn't remember. He rescues believers from sin forever. Forever. Now live like it. Live like it. Live like you've been rescued from sin. How many would say sin is the most devastating thing that my life has ever seen? How many of you have been freed from some type of addiction that had a stronghold on you that you thought, I'm never going to get free from this, but Jesus broke those chains and gave you freedom by his sacrifice? How awesome is that? How many would say, that's me? Don't be ashamed. That's me. He did that. Why did he do that? He didn't do that to later on down the road cast you away. He did that because he made you perfect, and now he's continuing to make you holy. Loved you so much. He paid the ultimate price to rescue you from your sin. He rescued you forever. Forever. You say, well, Pastor, do you really think he rescued me if I mess up tomorrow? Yeah. Because his spirit who lives inside of you now is going to teach you don't live there. Y'all remember the first time you sinned after you became a believer and there was an immediate difference? Something you've always done. And then all of a sudden you went, that didn't feel right. That's not what used to happen when I did whatever it was you were doing. Because I used to enjoy this, but I feel like I'm going to throw up because I'm so sick that I have violated God's command. How did you know? You didn't get saved, go home, and become a Bible scholar overnight. The Spirit of God came to live inside of you. And what happened is the Word was in you. And when you violated the Word, the Spirit said, that's not how you live your life anymore. Why? Because you've already been made perfect. And there's a work that's going on inside of you. And I'm making you holy. Listen, just get out of the way. Let him do what he does. Most of the time we stop. We don't want him to do what he does because we feel, I'm not worthy. You're absolutely right. You're not worthy. But you've been made perfect. Therefore, God says you're worthy now. Let the Holy Spirit who lives in you do the work. So let's close this. If you're covered by Jesus' sacrifice, here's some things you need to know. You don't have to try to earn forgiveness any longer. Listen to me. Number one, you do not have to try to earn forgiveness any longer. Don't think because you did three bad things last weekend that you got to do six good things this weekend to make up for the three bad things. I hear it all the time. Well, I had a bad week, so I reckon I need to go to church. No. Because you know what? You don't come here so sacrifice can be made for your sins. Sacrifice for your sins already been made. You come here to celebrate the fact that you are forever forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ, and sacrifice has already been made for your goof up. That's why we come here. So don't keep trying to earn forgiveness. You're going to fall short. If you're a person here today, let me tell you this. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you're trying to earn forgiveness your own way, you will miss the mark. Forgiveness comes through the greatness of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You don't have to earn it. Here's a neat thing, too. Number two, you don't have to try to keep it. You get that? I want that to sink in for just a second. You don't have to try to keep it.
Well, I got saved. Now I want to stay on the right path.
Dum-dum. You do not have it in you to stay on the right path in your own strength. Here's the proper response to that. I've been saved. The Holy Spirit is now in me, leading me down the right path to do the works God has prepared in advance for me to do. That's the Bible. So many times people recreate new laws for themselves. I got to stay on the right path. So I got to go to men's group on Thursday. If I miss that, man, I can't make it the rest of the weekend. I got to study my Bible 5 times this week. I got to pray for 4 hours. I heard a kid tell me that this week. He was bragging to other kids. Man, I used to pray for 5 minutes. Now I pray for 4 hours. I was like, well, so much for that. But don't we set up new laws for ourselves? Didn't we just read in Hebrews, those are shadows. Don't set up new laws for yourself. That's silly. Know this, you have been made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Listen, all you have to do is stop and rest in Him. And the Holy Spirit's going to do a work in you that nobody else could get the credit for. You say, that sounds like lazy Christianity. No, that's real Christianity, not works-based Christianity. Because I promise you this. If you yield your life to the Holy Spirit as a believer, before you know it, you will be doing the works of God, going, wow, where'd that come from? It came from exactly where He said it was going to come from, the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So you don't have to try to keep forgiveness established. You don't have to try to work your way closer to God. I can't. There's a song out. Let me just go on and tell you what it is. The gist of the song is, by their acts, I want to get closer, closer. I'm like, I want to turn the radio off. The Scripture says, I've been brought near by the blood of the Lamb. The only way I can get close to God is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's never, ever going to change. You know how you change that? You do away with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And guess what? You can't. It's done. It's complete. It's over. It's finished. Number 3. Sin, you don't have to try to earn forgiveness. You don't have to try to keep forgiveness. Forgiveness for sin for the believer is completed as far as you're concerned. Completed. Now, I know it's hard to absorb this. Some of you grew up in denominations where it's by grace you've been saved through faith, but work to keep it. Because here's what's stupid about that. If it's by grace you've been saved through faith when you got saved the first time before you lost it because you did something wrong, wouldn't it have to be grace by faith to get it again? Hello? So if we really believe that garbage, Jesus would have to come back and make another sacrifice every time you blew it. Oh, now the wheels are turning. He's right. I'm not right. I just plagiarized that. I just stole it from Hebrews. He's right. I'm an idiot. Don't think you're right about something you're not right about. Look and see what God's Word says. So here's the thing. There are all those people who say, and some of you are probably here today, already mad at me. He's preaching that won't saved always stuff. Just because he's from the Baptist. It's not. I shucked them like corn years ago. It's got nothing to do with the fact that I'm Baptist. It's got to do with the faithfulness of God to His promises, period. End of discussion. Here's the thing. I want to help you real quick. You're living a miserable Christian life. You are living a miserable Christian life. You don't understand forgiveness is completed. Because if you don't understand forgiveness is completed, you can't live like forgiveness is completed. What you do is you think when you fall from grace. Oh, if grace was free, and it was, wasn't it freely given to you and to me? Now, we know there was a great price that was paid. There's a great price that's paid when my kids go to somebody's birthday party and I pay for a present and I give it to them for free. So the thing is, though, a great price was paid, it's free to you. So if you received a gift, and that's what John 3:16 says it was, if you received a gift of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ through His sacrifice, if you did really receive that, How could you lose that? I know your arguments. Because you're here. I know you're here. You're afraid of me every time I get on this subject. Your toenails curl.
Because when I grew up at the Assembly of God Church, Brother Lovejoy, he told us that that's just some doctrine that's going to send people to hell.
That's doctrine here that's going to allow people to be free to live a victorious Christian life, and we got to get in on it. I promise you this, I will not spend an eternity in hell. I was headed that way, and Jesus rescued me once for all. I don't even have to worry about hell. Now, if you don't know Jesus here today, you kind of need to worry about it. That one saved always stuff going to send people to hell. That one saved always saved stuff is going to show you how awesome the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was on your behalf. It's going to allow you to walk in victory in this life and bring others to Jesus Christ who need the comfort and the assurance of knowing that they don't have to get saved over and over and over and over again. That forgiveness is completed. Period. And then last, I'm done. Forgiveness is forever. Forever. I know I've harped on it already, but I'm going to harp on it again. It's done. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. Y'all get that? I say it all the time. I live it. I'm thankful that whoever said that, it wasn't me, somebody way smarter than me. I'm thankful that God led somebody to say that in our lifetime. But how true is it? There's nothing that you can do to make God love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. Why is that so important? It's important to know this. Jesus died for you while you were in the middle of the most grotesque thing you've ever done. I'm not asking you to reveal that to anyone. I'm asking you to just kind of process that. You know what it is. And the worst thing you have ever found yourself involved in as a human being, the worst sin that you have ever committed, I promise you, Jesus Christ died for you in that moment. That's how much God loves you and desired that you would receive redemption and forgiveness through His Son. Therefore, we know this because of His promises. We who are believers here today, we have been forgiven. We have been perfected. The Holy Spirit is moving us in the practical world we live in to walk in that perfection that has been awarded to us freely by the grace of Jesus Christ. When we get that, we'll see others come to Christ through our influence, through our testimony, through our lives. You're here today and you say, well, Kurt, maybe I grew up in a denomination that they really didn't understand grace. I'll say this, there's a lot of them who don't. They sing Amazing Grace, but they really don't understand how amazing the grace of Jesus Christ really is. You say today for the very first time, Kirk, I know this. I know I've never truly repented of my sin and turned to Jesus Christ. I've never accepted Him as my atoning sacrifice. And in your heart today, there is something going on. In fact, it's going on so strongly you can't even make eye contact with me right now. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you out of darkness into light. Listen to His voice as He draws you. Follow Him in obedience to the cross of Jesus Christ, where atonement, perfect atonement, forever atonement for your sin was made. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? You're here today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here today and you say, Kirk, that's me you're talking to. I know that if my life was to end today, I've never personally accepted Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice in my life. And I feel Him telling me in my heart right now that I need to surrender to Him as my Lord and Savior and as a sacrifice for my sin. This very moment, if that's you, I want you to slip up your hand right now for me. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. You say, that's me. Thank you. Hold it up high for me. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Anyone else, raise it up high where I can see you. He says, I need Jesus to save me today. I'm willing to turn from my sin and myself and to turn to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anyone else like that who says that's me? Those two that raise their hand, I want you to look at me eye to eye, nobody else. You believe today God is calling you out of your sin into a relationship with Jesus Christ, washed by His blood. Are you willing to accept Him as your Lord and Savior today by faith? And I believe this, God's given you that faith to trust it. This is the day that you've heard the gospel, the truth that's going to set you free. Do you desire to be set free today? I want you to pray this prayer with me. Prayers don't save people. I'll tell you that right off the bat. What prayers do, they acknowledge to God, God, I recognize what you're doing in my life. I surrender to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and as a sacrifice for my sin. Do you desire to do that today? I want you to pray this out loud with me, folks. Join as we pray. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that today you are calling me to leave this life of sin and to turn to your forgiveness and your mercy. Jesus, please forgive me. Wash me by your blood. Cleanse me by your sacrifice. Thank you that you died in my place and that you rose again so that I could have new life today. I surrender to your gift of grace. I surrender to your Lordship. Those of you who raised your hand and said, I need Jesus to save me while everybody else is praying, I'm going to ask you to do something brave. If you would, just make your way out that aisle right there. Go to the side or to the middle. There's going to be some people down front who are going to take the Word of God and they're going to talk to you about what just happened in your life. Maybe you're here today and you're a believer. You've never really seen the greatness of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ like you've seen it in Hebrews chapter 10. I pray today that just for a moment you would just bask in that. Maybe you're here and you say, Kirk, I know I'm forgiven, but there's things I need to confess. That's what this altar's for. So you could come before God in humility and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I know that forgiveness was established through Jesus Christ, but I want to agree with you in my need for forgiveness right this very moment. And thank him for what he's already done, what he did at the cross to rescue, that forever rescue that was completed by Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The altars are open. There are people down front to pray with you. If you have a need, come. Allow these people to take it to the throne of God and pray for you.